Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Red hot comic book movie news.
Make the news of the Earth.
Defenders. The Weekly Planet. The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Caravan of Gut. No, that's the different thing.
It's a different thing.
Fuck it out. That was completely... I did not mean that. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, the podcast we do.
Mm-hmm, correct.
And that's where we talk movies and comics and TV shows.
That's correct.
Because I said that, and then I looked at my notes, and I'm like, wait a minute.
You're all in a tiz because you're on a different computer this week.
My computer has had a big breakdown again. Not because I dropped it this time.
Sure.
But anyway, it's Nick Mason's here. And
hello.
We're gonna talk about movie news and then cocaine.
James,
there.
I understand what you're going through because
what happened
we also
to you?
Well, we also do a thing with the videos and stuff.
Oh, yeah, you also
Caravan of Garbage. I'm also on that. So
yeah, that's a good point.
And we're roughly in the same positions when we record
that's
that.
That's a good point. If anybody could understand my plight, yeah. It's you who literally records everything with me.
That's right.
I guess that, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
We do need a whiteboard.
Yeah, I know, right?
Mm.
You should get one. But then you have to also put it up. I don't want to do anything.
Yeah. We need a whiteboard,
mm-hmm.
and it needs to have those sticky things where you just pull the strips off and then it stickies to a wall.
Yeah.
And we also need somebody else to order it and deliver it and install it.
But I also don't want
to... But if they're going to install it, we might as well have a proper one.
Yeah, and I don't want to deal with anybody also.
Exactly right.
I want it to just happen. I come in and go, oh, yeah.
We want, because a guy will come in, a guy with a real job.
Yeah.
He'll be like,
What's this for? Why do you have a goat puppet?
Yeah.
I'm exactly. Like, none of your business.
Do you have a TV that doesn't work? What do you have this laptop stand that doesn't have anything on it?
These are all great questions.
Why is the room so blank?
What do you want? Filled with Funko Pops, Mason? Is that what you want?
Yeah.
Anyway, here's the news of the week. You can skip ahead to any particular section if you do want.
That's right.
We're going to talk about more Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the Suicide Squad kills the Justice League video game that has the internet in a flurry.
Mm.
We're going to talk about some
a McFlurry. It's being sponsored by McDonald's.
Very good. We've got some MC news, including some casting.
That's right, it's MC news.
MC news. And then something about why Ant-Man doesn't look as good as other things and the reason behind that.
Okay. Is that going to be breaking any ground?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Then James Gunn got some news on his Superman movie, Shazam's opening weekend, how that's looking. Aquaman 2 is apparently not looking good, or who knows, and maybe it is.
A bizarre quote from that article. I don't know if...
I might not have the exact quote. I have some quotes. We'll find out.
Right.
And then the Flash news. Do you have a scoop? Is that something?
I might have a scoop. Somebody sent in a Gmail.
Mm.
And it might be legit.
I might have a little scoop too.
But it might be legit. But also, I'm very easy to trick.
Yeah.
So
and
I've done some due diligence, but it's also very easy to like leapfrog my due diligence with basic subterfuge, I think, because I'm not clever.
If you don't put a spelling error in it, we'll be like, that's probably
it's
legit.
Probably legit, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And also,
or even if not, I'd be like, well, yeah, Andy Muschietti probably would do some spelling mistakes, I guess.
People make mistakes.
Mistakes, yeah.
Yeah.
and he probably does have a large fortune in Nigeria that he has to get out of the country, and all I have to do is I have to, give him some money to pay off the crooked officials, and then he'll give me $47 million. So
it sounds like it.
Sounds legit, right?
Yeah. Also, with that scoop in particular, that movie I feel like is going to The Flash could like change multiple times.
That's true, yeah.
Oh, maybe it's a lock by now. I don't know. We'll get into it. Anyways, Mason.
We'll do what we always do. If we get a scoop.
Oh, and then Cocaine Bear.
Yeah, yeah. We'll do what we always do. We'll get a, if we get a real scoop, we'll crow about it for months and point at it as if it were, you know, a real achievement. But if it's not, we'll just quietly sweep it under the rug.
And nobody say anything.
Nobody say anything.
Nobody remind us.
That's right.
Mason, this is via Deadline.
Ooh.
And they say, more Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
So here we go. I love like a...
I like the tone they took there. That was nice.
Yeah. I love the merges and like...
It was like somebody getting out of bed.
Yeah.
And like they're just sort of resigned to the day. They're like putting on a happy face. They're like, oh, another day off to work.
I love this.
That's great. Pretty
I'm
good.
Not going to drive my car off a bridge.
Because there's more Lord of the Rings.
There's more Lord of the Rings.
Here we go.
Here we go. I also love these like... These like merger and acquisition like official press bios that they release because it's just junk with just like jargon in it. Whatever. Right. This one isn't as bad as other ones, but here we go. Following our recent acquisition of Middle Earth Enterprises, we're thrilled to embark on this new collaborative journey with New Line Cinema and Warner Brothers Pictures, bringing the incomparable world of J.R.R. Tolkien back to the big screen in new and exciting ways. This is Lee Gyunchard, CEO of Freemode, which is part of Embracer Group.
I love all these groups. I love all these content groups. What was the first one called? Middle Earth Enterprises.
Middle Earth Enterprises, yeah.
Probably bloody call it Mid Enterprises.
Whoa, you're saying anything.
That's right.
We understand how...
Enterprises, like the trees.
Oh, I thought you meant like the... The ship.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you
also,
have multiple
sure,
enterprises.
Sure, also that. Yeah,
okay.
Find a cross-promotional opportunity, sure.
I will.
Picard Season 4. Oh, I've ended up on the Middle Earth. We've ended up on the Middle Earth planet.
Am I in these movies? No. Oh. Just shut up and read the lines. We understand how cherished these works are and working together with our partners at New Line Cinema and Warner Brothers Pictures, we plan to honour the past, look to the future and adhere to the strongest level of quality and production values. Now, basically what this means is more Lord of the Rings movies, but we don't know what that looks like. I don't think some people have said, like, are they going to redo the original ones?
Is it going to be the Silmarillion?
Maybe, but I don't think they're going to redo the original ones. If anything, they're going to try and make a version of that.
Mm.
They're going to somehow try. I mean, then they've done that before,
and they're
doing it on TV at the moment.
That's right.
But that's a hard task to master, Mason. Yeah.
The press release says, and maybe we'll even do a Lord of the Rings television show. Sorry, I'm just getting something through. Oh, there's been one? It's been and gone.
No.
It cost $1 billion, you said. We spent $1 billion on it. Someone did. What's happening? Well, everyone's already forgotten it.
You say that.
All people remember is the title sequence.
Well, they made it for real or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All people remember is that weird fly through the cast thing.
Where it looks like a 90s sitcom or whatever, yeah.
You're saying we spent $1 billion and that's all people remember. That Entertainment Weekly little video clip. Okay, terrific.
So that, I've actually got a note here specifically for it. That is a separate deal.
Yes.
Which is when Amazon paid $250 million in 2018 in order to make 5 seasons of its Lord of the Rings series, The Rings of Power.
It's Lord of the Rings, the series.
Yeah. That one's, I think they're doing $1 billion a season or whatever. So they pay for the rights and then they're putting additional money into it. Now, look, most people, maybe not most, but a lot of people like hate that show. I watched it. I'm like, it was all right. I enjoyed some of that. But that's, they also put $1 billion into it. And I'm like, yeah, it's fine. And if people are like, I like Lord of the Rings, should I watch it? Yeah, maybe. It's up to you. Here's something interesting though, Mason. Peter Jackson and his writing partners, Fran Walsh and Philippa Boyens, they have been kept in the loop apparently on these Lord of the Rings movies. I don't necessarily think that means Peter Jackson is going to be involved. If I was him, I wouldn't, because those movies nearly killed him twice.
Yeah.
2 different times. But, I'm sure that's like being like, well, we're using George Lucas's outline to make a new Star Wars or whatever. You want to get those names on board, You want to get some of those producer credits and et cetera. Yeah.
Also, I read recently he's worth $1 billion now.
Yes.
Pretty good.
That is pretty good.
Pretty good for a plucky lad from New Zealand, eh?
Mm.
Not bad.
I think that's really cool. Mm. Yeah. I mean, he nearly died making those movies and he broke label laws. Why not?
Speaking but we've nearly died doing this podcast.
That's
Where's our $1 billion?
I almost spoke earlier. Remember that? It was crazy.
You nearly died of embarrassment.
Now, Mason, you love and remember Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah. I was going to say.
Yeah.
I was going to say. I've just been thinking of potential like ideas for Lord of the Rings.
That was my question. What about this appeals to you, and what would you like to see?
Well, I haven't written here, but I've thought it in my brain. I've written it in my brain. A Three's Company style sitcom called Nine Mortal Men Doomed to Die.
Okay.
Pretty fun.
With the
right?
rings and the whatever. And they become ring wraiths.
Yeah.
Interesting.
About three rings for the Elven Kings under the sky.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you'd follow that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing that in the series, though, in the Amazon series at the moment. Yes. Yeah. But yours would be funny?
Mine would be funny. It'd just be in like a regular sitcom house from the 70s.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Right,
I love that. I think
Aragorn has to pretend to be gay so he can live with the other two women.
Classic.
Right?
Very true to the character.
I think so.
Yeah. That's really fun. I mean, do you think they're going to do like, it's like, because they've talked about
Bombadil.
Well, that
Bombadil the series.
Are they going to do like Gandalf's side quest? Are they going to do like Aragorn's reign as king? Are they going to do that? Which I talked about in a video. Like, there's Tolkien started to write a sequel and then went, I hate them. No.
So Tolkien's son is Christopher Tolkien, right?
He's also dead, yes.
So what are the grandkids up to is the question I wonder.
I have no idea.
Okay.
Christopher Tolkien was mainly like compiling and editing works of his father.
Yeah, like incomplete manuscripts and things.
Yeah, exactly. Right, okay, yeah. Right. I mean, he was also a writer himself, but it was mostly doing a lot of that.
It's interesting we haven't seen like the grandkids emerge as like
how far does it get, you know?
Probably not that far, but all I'm saying is it wouldn't stop him.
No. You're probably right. What's an example of that? Gregory Peck's grandson, Ethan Peck. Is that his name? Spock.
Yeah. He is, yeah, it is Ethan Peck.
There's a perfect example. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's probably others.
Frank Herbert's son, other Herbert.
He made other Harry Herbert. Books. Harry and the Herberts.
That's right, yes.
Okay, yeah, great. Mm. What kind of New Zealand labour laws do you think Warner Brothers are likely to shout
all
at this time
them,
around?
I think.
Yeah?
All of them. The rest of the ones. Yeah. That's part of that press release. It says, yeah, we're going to break the rest of New Zealand's labour laws.
Now, do you think this is like an MC, like UFOing thing where we get 1 to 2 movies a year in, you know, various incarnations? Or do you think they're looking to do like a trilogy and then a different trilogy? Or is it like cycle spin-offs?
It must prequels, be a trilogy thing.
Connected
I think
Star Wars. Despite, you know, like The Mandalorian and
despite
whatever.
Despite the fact that The Hobbit trilogy didn't do very well. I think that.
I mean, it did monetarily.
Well, like, yeah,
did,
okay, but but critically not so much. Yeah. I think they're probably in their heads. They're like, people want trilogies.
Yeah,
we're going to bust out a bunch of trilogies. Actually,
I think that would probably be initially, at least, the smartest thing to do. Because I think when people are noticing that, like, if you throw everything like Star Wars and whatever, because they tried that, they were like, well, we'll do the mainline Star Wars movies, and then we'll also make like standalone ones, and that fell apart fairly quickly.
Yeah.
And now they're doing all of that stuff on television, and the movies will come back presumably in the next 3 to 4 years. I don't know. Right. And, you know, in the MCU model of, like, doing 2 to 3 a year, it's like it's Lord of the Rings. It's not the same. I think you need to make epic, big, sweeping sagas.
I think.
As opposed to, like, you can watch this one and we're leading up to.
But here's the thing also.
Lord of the Rings Avengers style.
Nothing is off the table, though.
I agree with that.
Based on what you've said there, of course they want to. Everybody wants an MCU still.
Yeah.
You know, despite the fact that there are, you know, there's backlash and backlash to the backlash, but that gets people talking.
That's right.
And look, if everything's been put up on the whiteboard because they have a whiteboard.
Oh, imagine if we had a whiteboard.
Who's their whiteboard guy? Right?
Yeah.
We'd fly down the whiteboard guy.
It would be expensive.
But I'm sure they're like, okay, we'll do trilogies. We'll do one for kids. We'll do a Mando style series that's just Monster of the Week, which is
strictly movies.
Right.
Because it's not part of that deal. Or maybe it is. I don't know. Well, they've got HBO Max, so Warner Brothers owns. I don't know who owns anything anymore. God. Embracer Group.
Yeah,
Middle
right.
Earth Enterprises.
Oh, we've talked about Embracer Group before, haven't we? Yeah.
Well, that's part of them. Yeah.
I mean, we have talked about, you know, Star Wars, it's of varying quality depending on who you are, but it's also different market sectors.
Yes.
You know, you cannot be expected to love everything. And they're like, okay, well, people, you know, people who want a adventure of the week, they like Mando, and people who want a good one, they want Andor and so forth.
Yeah. I think the problem with this is also they have Mind of Moria. Thank you. The main source materials that people know. I know you'd mentioned like the Silmarillion and whatever, and there are other writings that people know. Like I won't name them. I could. I choose not to.
Sure.
But they've mined the core idea. So a lot of the stuff that they'll have to end up doing is based loosely on something or completely off book.
Yes.
And either way.
That's why I asked about the kids.
Yeah.
Because I wonder if, I feel like there's certain creators where they go, okay, well, the son was heavily involved in the creation of this. And so if they write a new thing, it's like, well, it's considered canon.
Yeah.
But like at a certain point, it gets diluted where you go, well, just because the grandkids wrote this Sherlock Holmes story or whatever doesn't mean it's canonical, obviously. But so,
because how far does the juice go?
How far does the juice go is a great question. That's on the whiteboard. How far does the juice go?
Yeah, and I think when you look
do you get a Tolkien kid and just get him to endorse a thing that got ghostwritten?
Yeah, and then but I don't go, think well, that's this is I don't think that counts no, for think, shit. Then. I, like, people don't care. Right.
But I mean, that's also the thing. If you just say these are just for huge Tolkien fans, well, there's not that many of them compared to the general.
Yeah.
I'm sure if they said, okay, well, it's Gary Tolkien's new series of books and they get somebody else to write them, I think some people would go, well, obviously this is a shameless cash grab or whatever, but other people would be like, ooh, elves.
Elves and whatever.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, because if you look at, like, there's a lot of people that, you know, don't like the sequel trilogy for a number of reasons, but it might be because they're not what George Lucas would have done. Uh-huh. So that doesn't count as, like, Star Wars. And I think that's what we're sitting in here as well.
Well, and also sort of the MCU is sort of that middle ground
where
a lot of it is based on the comic books, but oftentimes very loosely based, and there are MCU storylines that are so loosely based. They are basically new and...
Yeah, it's just a name.
Yeah, so that's the test bed, and obviously here they've gone, well, you know, what if we just... Come on, guys, just watch some new stuff for us.
Do you think they're going to go to... Cast members, old cast members.
Like Christopher Lee.
Maybe not him necessarily.
Ask his blessing.
Maybe somebody else who's alive, potentially. Mm. You know, do you do, like I mentioned, like Aragorn's reign for a bit? And maybe what happened in Hobbiton, because there were various battles and whatever that happened post Lord of the Rings. So my brother tells me, you're the one you don't like.
Yeah,
he's a big Lord of the Rings nerd.
Yeah,
just unbearable. Mason. And that's me saying that. And I have to hang out with him.
Yeah. Well, considering none of this is costing me any money personally.
You're not part of Embracer Group?
I'm not part of Embracer Group that I know about.
Yeah.
Although maybe this podcast will be acquired and we will both become part of Embracer Group.
What can we get for this?
Nothing.
Not that much.
Nothing. We'll have to work harder
I'll do it for whiteboard. Give me the whiteboard. So what you say? You don't care is what you're saying?
I don't care what they do with it. I think I would love to see just some people taking a shot. I mean, get... Who's doing? I was going to say George R. R. Martin, but he'll never finish his own books. He's not going to. He's done with those.
Do you think maybe they missed a trick in continuing Lord of the Rings after Tolkien died in other ways? Because a lot of it is just manuscripts and whatever.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But if you actually continue the story with the characters, with other writers, including his son, I think people might be more receptive to it now. Not because necessarily they're good, but because they have happened.
Yeah. This is, I feel like, maybe this is like for fans of Watchmen. Getting people, we need somebody to step up and have the balls, James.
And like put their face and name
to
it.
Yeah, the gumption.
Yeah.
We need like a huge name, like a George R. R. Martin, but somebody who will actually follow through and finish something.
J.J. Abrams?
J.J. Abrams could be like, I'm going to write a new Lord of the Rings. What's in the treasure chest?
We don't know.
We don't, well, I don't
you
know.
I'm leaving. You figure it out.
Thank you. I'll take this. $500 million and I'm leaving. That was in my treasure chest. Anyway, see you later. Anyway, it's glowing or something. You do something with that.
Figure that out. Yeah.
It's glowing like another thing that glows.
Probably a dragon.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be.
A little dragon.
That's my idea.
But
that doesn't have to be. I'm not married to it.
Yeah. I reckon you get somebody big in the fantasy novel world.
Yeah.
Who is maybe...
But you need someone also who's like... Like film or television, I reckon.
Oh, that's
as well.
True. Yeah,
you know,
get the guy whoever directed Dungeons and Dragons, the new Dungeons and Dragons. You get him in.
J.J. Abrams, actually.
Get him in. You did a pretty good job. You could say.
I don't know who directed that.
No one does.
Yeah,
no one does.
I think it's someone comedic from memory. Anyway, while this is all happening, also Warner Brothers are suing Paramount over its $500 million licensing deal that they have with South Park or something.
I had that here,
Somebody put crazy. Streaming it. Oh, yeah, you didn't do one bit of news last week, Mason.
Well, I like to think that.
That's one for me.
In a lot of small,
put it on the whiteboard.
In a lot of small or large ways, I like to think that I contributed to that episode in a great way. That means that in a lot of ways is you know, equal or surpasses one bit of news.
Abstract, but abstract also, thought is not valid.
But also I knew that I didn't, and I just couldn't be bothered that week. So you get one.
Oh, I'd have to get you three, two more times.
Yeah, you're one third of the way to getting another veto, of which you still have three.
That's true.
Wow. So yeah. Anytime you want to stop the fun, anytime you want to be a big killjoy.
I do like stopping fun.
Yeah, it's true.
I just want to stop the most fun, though.
That's right.
I'm just in a way to having the most fun.
I think you should develop a catchphrase for stopping the fun.
Okay.
You know.
Stop the fun, I'll say.
No, I don't like that. It should be better.
All right.
Yeah, the Warner Brothers discoveries, which is fascinating. It is fascinating. It is so Warner Brothers Discovery has filed a lawsuit against Paramount Global, who are probably part of Embracer Group.
Probably not.
Alleging that the latter company, Paramount Global, backed out of certain parts of their $500 million licensing deal for the streaming rights to South Park. Isn't that wild?
Yeah. So that was because they'd made some direct-to-streaming movies.
And they can't say movies.
Production?
No, you can say events.
Events.
They're not allowed to say movies because their contract stipulated they couldn't produce any movies.
Long episodes and of a show.
They couldn't say specials either because they'd already made a couple that were called specials, so they have to call them events now.
God.
Pretty good, right?
I mean, it's – what are we doing?
I don't know, but also it's there's enough South Park.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Wild.
Yeah.
Clearly somebody at Paramount has gone – we need to spend $500 million on this. We need to have this because we think we'll spend $500 million and we'll get more, even though people can just watch it on another streaming service probably, or have most of them on DVD or whatever. South Park fans seem like the type who would have everything on DVD.
You're absolutely right, yeah. And they look at them and they go, that's great comedy. That's very – I see both sides.
Yeah, that's
which
right.
Which is me. That I have all the DVDs.
Yeah.
I love looking at both sides and going, but everyone can be valid, but I think – anyway, who will win?
But don't even worry about it, you know.
Also, don't worry about it.
Ultimately, you know, it's just why can't people just sit around and talk about the issues anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Why can't they just do that?
Ultimately, do you feel like as a result of this, who cares?
Yeah, I do, which is the very ethos of South Park.
Exactly.
And the fact that there's $500 million, they were also on the list, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, of this list of people who are worth
billions. Okay, yeah.
I saw an infographic, and one of them was worth like $750 million.
Yeah, one's
worth
got
$500
more.
Million.
Did they both do the Book of Mormon, or did one of them do it? Is that how that works?
I don't know. Maybe somebody saved their basketball money. Maybe
somebody did save their basketball
and
orgasmo money.
Maybe, yeah, that's probably it. Maybe one of them got a little back end for
Tim America World Police.
I was going to say for Real Big Fish's cover of Take On Me, which I think is in basketball.
You might be right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mason,
yes.
This week we saw more of Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League, which is Rocksteady's new video game.
So they created the first three Arkham games, Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, Arkham Knight. They didn't make Arkham Origins.
Or the last thing that
Gotham
happened.
Gotham Knights.
Yeah.
So this is set, Kill the Justice League is set in the continuity of
their
Arkham
trilogy.
Knights. So it's set 5 years later.
8 years later. No, sorry. Yeah, right. Sorry. But it took 8 years in development. Now, I love the idea of this where you are members of the Suicide Squad and you have to take on the Justice League.
Using all their signature weapons, all their various...
That drink is so loud.
I know, and it's just been fizzing for ages. Is this a poison drink? Did you hand me a poison drink? Extra fizz?
One of our drinks has poison in it, but I cannot remember which one for the life of me, Mason. But
it's the one that's carbonated regularly or this one that will not stop fizzing?
Put it up to the microphone. It's a weird noise too.
It's an intense fizz.
I like how you put it behind the pop filter.
Oh. Well, it's a soda pop, James.
Very good. Anyway.
Wow, what a world. It's filling
up more.
I don't understand.
Why are you drinking it? Oh, probably because of the poison.
Because of the poison and it's, yeah.
They're not normally that fizzy.
No.
That's really weird. Anyways, here's the thing about this.
Anyway, I was going to say this. With all their signature weapons, you're going to use Captain Boomerang's classic boomerangs, aren't you, James?
Yes.
No, he's just got a gun.
They've all just got guns. Well, he also has, and they also have modes of traversal.
Yes, like Gotham Knights.
But it's like, it's swinging or you throw your boomerang and then you zip to it or you whatever the other two do.
Yeah, so Captain Boomerang has a Speed Force gauntlet.
Yeah.
He takes it off a wall in a trophy room or something like that.
That's so distracting.
It's very
That's
distracting.
So loud, Mason.
Yeah.
I wonder if anybody could even hear it.
But yeah, so look, there is one thing I'll say. There is some precedent for Captain Boomerang because Captain Boomerang obviously is a Flash rogue.
I don't mind the specifics.
And his son, I think, has super speed powers in addition to having Boomerang. So in this continuity, I'm like, yeah, whatever. Give them. They all need – otherwise they're just –
they're going to get killed immediately.
Otherwise, at the very least, Harley, Deadshot, and Captain Boomerang are just people walking around a big city because they've got no other way to get around. But so, yeah, and so Harley has a grappling hook and Deadshot has a jetpack.
Yeah.
And King Shark has just got something.
One of them floats.
Yeah, whatever.
But here's the thing, right? It just, it looks like a looter shooter.
A sip of this and maybe it'll
see what happens.
Still going. What is happening?
I don't know.
I'm going to take a sip and see if it disables it or if I die.
But like, why put in four characters where they seem to, that's mostly like brawling and shooting, right? Sure. And I know the traversal looks
Destiny.
Different.
It's the game Destiny.
That's the thing. It looks like a looter shooter. And here's some other information about it. It's got, and you can tell that the plan for this was like 5 or 6 years ago at the minimum. It's been 8 years.
Right.
Because a lot of this stuff, like brands are moving away from, like Embracer Group probably.
Oh, yeah, probably Embracer.
It's got six different in-game currencies. Missions can be played as single player, but there's also a built-in co-op. There's battle passes with cosmetic items. You have to be online to play.
So all this is going away. See, I'm perpetually several years behind. As you know, James, the last game I played was a point-and-click adventure where you play a Victorian lady who wears trousers.
Yes.
So it was excavating a barrow.
Yeah.
So I'm not up to
none
date.
Of this...
No, so this is, but I do know there's been a huge backlash against loot boxes.
Yeah,
and,
well, there's
that
a
sort of stuff,
there's
so.
A finite amount of time that people have.
What?
And these ones are like stuff like
James,
this
small existential crisis. Thought I was going to live forever.
But like, if you're into,
do you think this will help me live forever?
Yes,
this perpetually fizzing drink.
Well, in a way, you'll be remembered as the guy who drank a drink he shouldn't have. But. Like, you know, you might be playing a Destiny or a Fortnite or various versions of COD or whatever the fuck people are playing. I don't know. Fall Guys? What are they doing?
Yep, we're all playing Fall Guys. That's right.
And also Rocksteady are committed to supporting the game far after launch with new characters, missions and weapons. And here's the thing. We just fucking did this with
Gotham
the Avengers.
Knights? Oh, okay.
And
right.
Gotham Knights, yes. Yeah. Two examples. And, okay...
Those characters also had different ways of traversing the city, if you recall.
That's true. How is there, and look, to be fair, it looks better than the Avengers. And I like this, like any-
Metropolis looks
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, and every cutscene I see, great. Love the story, love the interaction, love
the voice
idea
acting is
of
good,
this.
Yeah.
Voice acting is great. All of that I'm on board with. And this is obviously a game built around being constantly online, getting money out of people, grinding online currencies. Just keep going and going and going.
Excavating
forever.
A barrow in the Victorian era.
Wearing a pant.
Going on a big train. Going to a town and they're like, we don't like strangers around here, darling.
I mean, if you look, I didn't buy the new Harry Potter game. I'm not going to buy it. Mm-hmm. It sold well anyway. Like it sold like 12 million copies because that's not an online forever. People want to walk around Hogwarts and speak to a fucking book or whatever the fuck people do in that. That to me is exhausting. I don't want to touch that. Regardless, right? And even look at Guardians of the Galaxy. They put all their Guardians in, but you play as one and you control the others and you go through a single-player narrative, right? That, to me, makes sense. This is ridiculous. You've spent 8 fucking years. You just make a Superman game.
Well,
people only want to play Superman. Why the fuck would you make this?
Well, we talked about this off-air. Rumors are swirling, and by that I mean I saw a few tweets that suggested maybe the reason this took so long is because they had to reverse engineer the Superman game they'd been working on for many years.
They took Metropolis and
there was a lot of talk about like your next one's a Superman game.
Maybe
don't
it was
even worry about
Superman
it.
Kills the Suicide Squad very quickly.
Yeah.
And then you fly around the city and go, that was great.
Amanda Waller hands him that little iPad at the start of the game and you just tap. You tap a half a dozen buttons and everybody's heads pop off.
Like, I like, again, I don't, the concept of this is interesting, but I'm not going to get this.
Right.
I mean, even if they're like, it's amazing, I'm still not going to get it. Because online connectivity, coins and like upgrading constantly,
I don't like it.
Downloads, and they're like, we'll support this forever. I don't want to play it forever. I want to play it for 10 to 12 hours max and then never look at it again.
Yeah, I want,
that's how I.
I wanted a, yeah, exactly that. I wanted a. Like I wanted, like, and that's the thing because I was relying on Rocksteady providing what they did for the previous games,
yeah,
or maybe even a return to the first
Arkham
Asylum, where it's like it's a very much it's a big Batman adventure, it's a big Suicide Squad adventure where it's very much written and on rails, and
but it's not even on like rails because it's like But yeah, well, that's one thing. And you saw this happening with the last game. Like by the end, there was like hidden endings if you got all the whatever and you can upgrade your armor for, and there's various incarnations you can buy at the start with DLCs and whatever. Yeah, yeah. And like they were leaning this way. And I'm not even saying this is absolutely not the fault of the people who made this game. These are directives, obviously, that you have to choke a game with this shit.
Yeah. Or you did five years ago.
And now
it's too late to take it out, I guess.
I mean, at least we're getting that Wonder Woman game. We're getting an Wonder Woman game which also has the you know, that orc upgrade system from Shadow of Mordor.
Oh, where you get Nemesis.
And all that, because they own it. The Nemesis system is whoever made that game.
You stood up Steve Trevor on a date. He's your Nemesis now. But he's just a regular guy, so whatever.
Yeah, you can stand him up again or kill him. That's up to you. So at least we're getting that. But, like, I think we're at the point where somebody can make a Superman game, right?
Yeah.
It can be done. Yes. And every now and then, like every few months, like someone makes like a concept in Unreal Engine where it's Superman flying around the city and everyone goes, that would be cool. Someone should do that. Mm. And they never do.
They never do, yeah.
Somebody should fucking figure that out.
And see, that's the thing. Speaking of Superman, I was very excited. How are the Suicide Squad going to defeat Superman in this
shooting
game?
Shooting
and punching is the answer. But as I was alluding to earlier, James, Captain Boomerang doesn't have a boomerang. I mean, he's holding a boomerang.
That's cool.
And he's got boomerangs on his suit, but he's just using guns.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, a variety of incredible guns.
Do you think maybe this game started
as
a Captain Boomerang navigates Metropolis and then it blew out?
Yeah.
Do you think that's what happened?
Yeah.
And they took his boomerang away?
Maybe. Yeah. Or just a Metropolis gun merchant.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, fires a series of guns, just shows them off, and then they're like, should we add some skins to this? Make that Captain Boomerang? Sure.
Do you remember, like, I wouldn't say that, like, the strength of the Arkham games were necessarily, like, the boss battles, but there are a lot of, like, interesting ways that you could approach certain ones, like Mr. Freeze or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And you fight Killer Croc in the sewer and stuff like that. You could easily build, like, boss battles around these guys.
Are they not doing that?
But it seems as if you're in an arena and maybe you shoot them. But I don't know. Maybe it is. But I just – also, I look at this and I'm like, I've played this.
Sure.
I've played so many games or avoided games that is just this.
Uh-huh.
And it's just really depressing. That
you are shooting – you do seem to be shooting a lot of glowing weak spots in that trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. We don't really – I mean, thus far, I don't recall there being any – gameplay footage of here's the situation in which you are fighting the Flash.
True.
So I don't know. Maybe the draw for a lot of people will be, okay, you don't have to really up. You know, it might be one of those games where like you don't have to upgrade your gear and all do this sort of stuff. It's like you can just follow the storyline and get to the. Maybe it's an interesting arena
if you're online. Maybe it is an interesting arena. That's on the back of the box. I don't know. You follow the story. Maybe there's an interesting arena. You tell us. Should we move it along, though?
Let's move it along.
This is by a deadline. Apparently, Steven Yeun has joined the MCU, probably.
Ooh.
And he's...
MCU Yeun.
That's good.
Thank you.
He's Glenn from The Walking Dead. He's also a talented filmmaker in his own right. He's made a lot of really interesting stuff. The best thing that happened to that guy's career was like bashed his head in The Walking Dead and he got to make other stuff. Spoiler alert from that thing that happened 6 years ago.
Wow.
Now, I've got a potential scoop here from someone who's been fairly reliable in the past. I spoke to somebody at Marvel who said, not like a higher up necessarily, and this is the quote that they sent me, we don't even know who he's playing, but my guess is Sentry since there's been whispers of that casting circulating a bit. So he's going to be in the Thunderbolts as Sentry, potentially. I say that with the very loosest, like that's what somebody's telling me who heard from somebody else. But, you know, we'll see. Yeah, he'd be a good Sentry. Or a bad Sentry. Right. But probably a good Sentry, Mason.
A good Sentry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
And he can be quite sort of, you know, I think the idea behind the Sentry is like when he's in sort of human form, he's fairly unassuming kind of thing.
Yeah.
He's just a regular guy down in the dumps, you know?
Having a good old time.
Yeah.
Great stuff, Mason.
Right.
Speaking of the MCU, this is via Vulture. So some insider VFX artists have opened up about their work on Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania.
Mm.
And this is what they said anonymously. Don't tell anybody, though. Wakanda Forever took precedent. It felt like the higher-ups and supervisors' role were shifted around to put that on their plates and there was a smaller team working on Ant-Man. it was on the back burner, less of a pressing thing. Maybe the director had an idea of what he wanted, but he wasn't 100% clear. We had a rough environment that we were sticking to, that we were sticking a few main characters in. At the time, we were told where the characters should be in that environment. We were just going with what felt right.
Okay.
And there were certainly times in Ant-Man where it's like, where's this? What are we? Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels weird and disconnected from whatever was previously happening,
maybe. Also, a clip that's been going around the last couple of days on Twitter.
Is it MODOK's butt?
It's not MODOK's little butt, although it is being censored apparently in some regions and markets. Mm. I mean, that region is certainly being censored.
Yeah, sure.
His little butt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's that clip from the end of Captain America, the First Avenger, where he wakes up, the post-credits, where he wakes up in what he thinks is still the 40s, and then it turns into, you know, he's actually in the present day.
Yeah.
But it's been pointed out, I think, that he's actually interacting with real things in a room. And
it is interesting when somebody's in a room, isn't it?
It's interesting. He's in a room and he's picking things up and he's, you know, touching the radio and whatever. But it seems like one of the things that leads to this sort of persistent unreality in some of these modern Marvel things is nobody picks anything up anymore.
Yes.
Like nobody like picks up a coffee cup because there isn't one.
Yeah, like you're near things.
Yeah.
But beyond that.
Yeah, yeah. You know? You're not kicking up any dust when you run because there's no dust.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, I completely agree with that. Yeah. God, just to watch a movie where Captain America's in a room just picking things up.
Oh, my God, you know? He's listening to a ball game.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, how – I don't know. But also, like, if you're going with scope and scale, what do you put in the quantum realm to pick up? I mean, anything.
Sure.
It could literally be like a junkyard for things that have shrunk.
Yeah,
you know, I don't.
I mean, they pick up some cocktails at one point in the
they made a bar,
quantum realm bar,
whatever.
But were they real drinks?
Michael Douglas put his hands in some goo, or he didn't, maybe he probably didn't.
Mm.
Yeah, I also think like if you look at these two movies,
and
Wakanda Forever clearly had, I don't know whether it's even artistic direction, but that has a feel and a look about it.
Mm.
I mean, I didn't love all the underwater stuff. I was like, wow, look at this murky as shit city, but you felt like the
Hey, this is Atlantis' tidiest city. We get the tidiest city award in 2015.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it's on the sign.
That's great.
Yeah.
But like, you know, all the aesthetic of all the aesthetic of Wakanda and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like it did feel like real streets and whatever.
Yep.
And you see water like flowing into it.
Not
and,
bad.
And paint and clothing and all of these kinds of things.
Sure.
And whereas this one didn't feel like any of that. It was like people standing in a void wearing a cloak and being like, where are we? We're in the quantum realm. Anyway, I thought it was all right. And I stand by
that's
Mason.
Right, yeah.
I know like people have talked about the decline of the MCU and whatever, but I think it's only going to take like one or two movies, maybe even just one. People go, I love this, it's back. And it could very well just be Guardians.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, you know.
Or it could be a surprising new one.
Could be a surprising new one. But I don't like surprises. I want it to be a thing I've already seen.
Mm, yeah. I mean, you know, I think there's been moments. Like I think Werewolf by Night to me was like,
yeah, totally.
This is reinvigorating. This is
I liked
fun.
A lot of Spider-Man. I liked Shang-Chi. I liked Loki. I liked WandaVision.
Mm.
You liked Thor, Love and Thunder.
I didn't. I hated that movie. Awful. Worst thing they've ever done.
What about that?
No, it is.
Here's some DC news, Mason. Now, James Gunn has revealed that he was hired to write Superman Legacy 6 months ago. This would have been before the release of Black Adam. Now, I feel like, so they probably asked him, what do you want to do? And he said, because he had pretty much had carte blanche to make whatever he wanted. And he chose, you know, Peacemaker, Suicide Squad, and Superman, it seems. But I think if Black Adam had have made, I don't know, more money, then this would be The Rock, Henry Cavill, Superman, DC Universe that we'd be stepping into now.
Sure.
Thank God we are not, quite frankly. Because, I want to see. I mean, even if it's bad, the James Gunn thing, I would much rather see what that looks like than The Rock's fucking Black Adam universe.
You don't want to see one of them, either Superman or Black Adam, just hovering in sort of in the sky and you see something coming from the distance and it's a blur and then it's the other guy and they smash into each other and then and you go off screen and maybe they go through a building or something. And
do I want to see that?
And somebody's like, it's okay, we've evacuated the city. Don't worry about it.
We learned our lesson from Man of Steel.
Mm.
Do I want to see that?
Do you want to see that?
Yeah, I mean, that I want to see, obviously.
Sure. Okay, but that for 2 hours? You want to see that for 2 hours?
I would probably, I could probably sit through three of those movies and then maybe before it wears thin. Let's do a trilogy. Yeah. But just the idea of like, I mean, we've talked about it, but like, oh, look, the hierarchy of the universe is like, based around Black Adam. What the fuck out of here. What are you doing?
I mean, you say that, but again, the hierarchy of the Marvel Universe was based on a bunch of B-listers.
Those are also core characters in the Marvel Universe. Black Adam is like a D-list. He's the villain of a D-list fucking Superman knockoff.
Maybe
is older than Superman. I fucking know. I don't remember.
He's not.
You know? Yeah. He's not interesting enough. And also, he's not even interacting with the guy he's supposed to be interacting with. Speaking of,
yes.
This is via box office.
I see what you're saying there, but what I'm saying is that, like,
anything can be good. Yes. You are right. But that, I don't know. Maybe I've just been poisoned because I watched that movie.
Maybe you've been poisoned because I put some poison in your raspberry soda.
It was
soda.
You.
That's right.
So yours is fine and I've been double poisoned.
No, mine's been poisoned as well.
Okay, great. Yeah, cool.
We're going down together.
Hopefully we can get through this.
Because we're friends.
Who poisoned each other's drinks? Via box office.
Oh, we poisoned our drinks at the same time. Oh my God.
We always finish so nice. poisoning each other's drinks.
That's right.
Box office pro have said Shazam 2 is expected to underperform our opening weekend with around 43 to 52 million. That's going to be lower than the first Shazam movie in terms of the opening and one of the worst in the DCEU. I mean,
let's rally up, folks. Let's all see it opening weekend.
I mean, it's.
Let's make it
I mean,
happen.
They killed the universe, and Black Adam isn't connected. And
that's true.
I like the first Shazam, and I like the director of this movie. But I can't say like I've been overly thrilled at all. I mean, I'm going to see it.
Yeah.
Because obviously we will talk about it in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But I can see why maybe this is tracking low. But I could also see like if it's good, people, you know, word of mouth could build and
for
whatever.
Sure, yeah.
But it's also it's right. In the, like, movies are ramping up at that time. If you like, we've got Creed 3 next week, Scream's coming out as well.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff that's happening, like, after that. So maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. But I've heard that Creed is going to throw a bus at a guy.
Is he?
He's going to throw a bus at Jonathan Majors.
He just threw that freaking bus at that guy.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Can you freaking believe it?
I freaking believe it, Creed. Yeah. You did it.
But we'll see. I like first Shazam, so why not second Shazam?
Why not second Shazam?
and then no more probably, baby.
Well, I think you're right. And also, you know, in an ideal world, people shouldn't be like, oh well, if this universe is ending, I'm not seeing this movie. It'll probably stand up well on its own. But if both major companies have spent the last decade going, it's actually really important that all these movies are interconnected. It's kind of your own fault, isn't it?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Isn't it wild, though, and I'm sorry to get back to this, but I just cannot get over it, that they didn't go Shazam 2, he has to fight the previous Shazam, who's The Rock. Like, you don't think that maybe that's the direction you want to take?
No, he should fight Helen Mirren.
Which is fine, too. Like, whatever, him and Lucy Livermore, I get that. Like, I understand, but they only did that because they can't do The Rock, obviously. So they made a fucking Black Adam solo movie, which is disconnected from this series.
They got a Fast Saga poster, and they scratched off The Rock, and then just threw a dart to see what other cast member would be in this movie. Oh, Helen Mirren! All right, great. That'll do, I guess. Sure.
Like nobody thought, because even if you didn't know they were like, you didn't know who Shazam's villain was, but if his villain turns up and it's The Rock. And he's bigger than Shazam, and he was previous Shazam or whatever.
Yeah, you'd be like, that's spooky.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
And he's Hobbs or Shaw. Like, that's I get right. it.
Yes.
Anyway, apparently Aquaman 2 is bad.
Yeah.
But I should preface this by saying, who knows? Changes can be made, edits, reshoots.
Yeah.
They're probably recutting a bunch of shit out of this movie anyway, which we'll talk about also.
And the quote that I was referring to earlier that I saw on Twitter was, people who have seen it said, it is the worst DCEU movie ever.
Oh,
and
my
I'm
God.
Saying...
No.
No.
You're saying no.
No, I'm saying it could be, but I'm just saying that is a hell of a thing to say. Like, just what a statement to make. Are you sure?
Think about it.
Because the bar is below
that. I'm gonna give you a minute to think about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Just reassess what you've just said there.
Because you can't take it back. Once you've said it's the worst one ever. Think about all the maybe you've forgotten some.
Yeah.
I'm gonna open up IMDb and I'm gonna show you all the other ones. And then you can think about it.
Yeah.
This is an open book test.
Yeah.
You can look at all the other ones. You don't have to.
You can even rewatch some.
Yeah, we'll give.
You can bring some clips up on your phone.
Let me know tomorrow.
Yeah. Anyway, this is via Big Screen Leaks on Twitter, who says, there's a reason I've been avoiding any questions about Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. since at Viewer Anon put it out there. It brings me no joy to back him up and tell you that the test screenings for the film have not been good. Really hoping Juan fixes this movie before December. And Jeff Snyder says, I hear it's terrible and that's why Momoa is going to be Lobo going forward. But they can't say that yet because then it would be a lame duck. And DC is hoping to bring another $1 billion out of the box office. $1 billion out of the box office. First one was awful too, so not a huge surprise. I would say the first one is not awful. Mm. I don't love that movie.
Yeah.
It's also the only DC movie I think that made $1 billion
in
the DCE.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
There you go.
And if that's true, that's fucking wild. But also, as I said, things can be changed and test screenings aren't necessarily indicative of how audience respond and all of that. Because maybe they've got some real, like, deep cut Aquaman lore that people will love and relate to
whatever. But maybe he's got the hook hand.
Love that, Mason. Mm-hmm. And we've got this from Can We Get Some Toast on Twitter, who says, sorry to say they removed both of the Bruce Waynes for good in Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
Oh.
Which means... We knew Ben Affleck was going to be in it.
That's right.
And there was also word that Michael Keaton was as well. But that also obviously off the back of The Flash where they're resetting the universe, et cetera, and so forth.
Well, speaking of Batmans, here's a little scoop.
Second
a potential
bit of news.
Scoop.
Okay.
Well, this is from someone who I shan't be naming for security reasons.
Oh.
They've said regarding the movie The Flash and potential post-credit sequences for The Flash.
Yes.
So if you don't want to know.
I don't.
Too bad.
Okay.
You don't get to choose.
Okay.
You're the only person I'm speaking to directly, but you don't get to choose. Everybody else could shuttle forward a little bit.
Doesn't seem props. Mm. Doesn't seem cool, but I guess you're right.
Yeah. Anyway, this source has told us, he says, hey guys, I can confirm that George Clooney will be in the Flash movie. I worked on the additional photography for the day shooting his scene.
Mm.
It will most likely be a post or mid-credit scene. Of course, they could decide not to put it in entirely, but we shot it.
Well, that is... possible too if this is true. It wouldn't surprise me. It also wouldn't surprise me if they just leave Ezra Miller in the George Clooney Batman universe.
Right.
just dump them there and then move on and then recast.
Sure.
What happened to the previous Flash?
Schwarzenegger shows up as Mr. Freeze or just somebody in that suit and just ices him up and then he gets put in a big fridge. The fridge is locked, but they put a chain on it.
Yep.
It says Flash-proof chain on it. They've made it in...
They put it in a Speed Force prison or something.
In a Speed Force prison.
Yeah, at the bottom of the ocean.
The way it's played, Ezra's Flash approaches Bruce from behind and when he turns around, it's Clooney, not Keaton. So there you go. Now, the only due diligence I've done here is I've Googled the person's name who sent this in.
Yep.
And their IMDb results suggest, yes, they could have been in at least the building when this was happening.
Ooh.
So, you know.
I love spoiling a big thing, Mason. That's great. Mm. So you're saying that this is definitely confirmed. And if anybody's reporting on this from any of the trades, just know that this is our hot scoop or shot of poop segment.
That's right.
You can only report on it if you officially say, we don't care if you name the podcast. Mm-hmm. That is irrelevant.
Irrelevant.
But that
you can just say some podcast has a segment called hot scoop or shot of poop.
You don't even have to link it.
Yeah, we don't care. Honestly, we're not going to read most of this.
Yeah, we're not in it for the clout.
That's right.
We're in it to make a website write a dumb thing.
That's right.
All right, Mason. Got the last bit of news here.
Well, I've got another bit of news.
Okay. Oh, he's really overcompensating this week.
This is my actual one bit of news.
Okay.
And this might be surprising. The Umbrella Academy season 4 cast adds Nick Offerman, David Cross, and more. The more is Megan Mullally, who is...
So three people,
Nick Offerman's wife.
That's a weird way to frame that.
Right?
And more.
And more, it says here.
Yeah.
But isn't that wild? For two reasons. One... this is season 4 of Umbrella Academy, which
we
really like.
Yeah,
but it's amazing that it's still on track.
It is incredible.
Given that when we talk about it, people go, "Oh, is that show?
Is that back? Is
it's
it
back still? How many? Is there a second season? No, there's three.
Yeah,
oh, there's three seasons. And the fact that you know a show like The Sandman was the number one show in the world for a few weeks running.
It even made Red Notice for a time.
And they've still had to do like an online campaign begging people to watch it and tweet about it and talk about it so it you know gets a second season.
Yeah.
I wonder if like maybe it's just somebody higher up at Netflix
just likes it.
Just really loves My Chemical Romance and is like.
Maybe it is.
Gerard Way, I'll just do
Gerard all the way.
Oh.
Yeah. I like those casting. I also think it makes sense that like, because I feel like all of those people involved with that can now do bigger things.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying bigger things in this, but I'm saying if you do one season and it's going to finish at season 4, so they can be like, I can do this a few episodes and then move on to whatever else.
Yeah. But there you go. Offerman and Mullally are playing a married pair of community college professors.
Oh.
And David Cross is a business owner and family man desperate to reconnect with his estranged daughter.
Hmm.
There you go.
That's what you're desperate to do also, aren't
That's
you?
That's exactly right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm happy for you. Last bit of news is via Variety. Apparently The Flash will debut 2 months early at CinemaCon on April 25th.
Ooh.
This is a sign of that at the very least Warner Brothers thinks it's good.
That is true.
They think I think I saw this week, they did that with like Top Gun and whatever else.
Yeah.
So it's generally a good sign.
I think so, yeah.
But, you know, we'll see. Nothing means anything and existence is pointless.
No.
Yes, Mason.
Oh, no. Should we go to an ad then?
Yeah, let's go to an ad.
Great.
Yeah, buy whatever this is.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Nicotine, Valium, Vicodin, marijuana, ecstasy, and alcohol.
Go on.
Cocaine. There.
Nice. That's great. That's a...
It's an A-plus intro.
It's a good
I had to write down the lyrics because I was like, I know them, but I didn't trust myself to remember them on the spot.
I understand. Sure.
But who wants a great joke to go awry, you know?
Nobody.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, you would mess it up and we'd do another take.
Yeah.
And only I would know.
Mm.
But I would know. And I'd know forever.
And you tweet out. You tell everyone.
I tweet it out. Yeah. I get the backup recorder going. I know.
I'll do a little
snip out there and
show the
world. Embarrassing for you.
I would hate that. But
I mean, you've already embarrassed yourself, you know, as much as one can because you did that caravan of garbage thing at the start of the episode. So.
No, that's been edited out. I'm pretty confident. Okay. Yeah, I need to worry about that.
All right then.
Yeah, no one will even know. Mason, Cocaine Bear came out.
Ooh.
It has a budget of between $30 and $35 million and a box office opening in the US at the very least of around $20 million.
Two tens of millions of dollars.
Now, that won't beat Ant-Man 3's opening weekend, which might have the biggest drop ever of a comic book movie in its second week.
Yes.
It's possible. So Ant-Man, strong opening, maybe doesn't have ant legs.
Yes.
Maybe it does have ant legs, tiny little legs. I don't know.
I think if it does have ant legs, it would support.
Mm.
So I think it doesn't have ant legs.
But could an ant leg support the weight of a hundreds of millions of dollar franchise?
Yeah.
How many ants, though? It couldn't just be one ant leg. It'd have to be a bunch, wouldn't it? Yeah. Anyway, something to think about it. Something to think about, Mason.
Yes.
So this is very good for this movie, especially considering that this is like a movie that not everybody can see, or what I would even say that is also not for everybody.
Sure.
There's a lot of people who would look at this and go, no, thank you. But I know a lot of people who have just been talking about this movie because they're like, and everyone knows it. Like people are like, what did you do today? And I'm like, I saw Cocaine Bear. And they're like, oh, I know that. Because often I'll be like, I saw Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. And they'll go, what are you talking about?
Oh, there was a second Ant-Man and the Wasp. And you'll be like, no, this is the third one.
Yeah.
And they're like, huh.
What? Huh. Yeah. So
does he go big? And he'd be like, yeah, he did that 8 years ago, actually. He became a big Ant-Man.
But now he's in a little universe and then he goes big in that.
And they'd be like, so normal size? And you'd be like, no, actually, still smaller than normal size.
Anyways, this is Elizabeth Banks directed this movie. And it's based on a true story. Do you want to explain the true story?
Yeah.
Actually, do you want to explain the true story or do you want to tell us what the story was?
I think I can do both simultaneously.
Let's do what? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I've been practicing my tube and throat singing, so I can do both literally at the same time. No. Okay. So the real story, if I recall, is that a drug smuggling plane was in some sort of trouble and the drugs were dropped out of the plane and they and into a
woods.
Into a woods.
Yep.
And one morning some park rangers went out and they found a dead bear next to one of the big bags of cocaine.
Yep.
And the assumption is that it took a bunch of cocaine and it died.
Immediately.
But then this movie posits, what if it didn't?
Yeah.
What if it went on a crazy cocaine rampage and it was a bit of fun?
It was a bit of fun. I would say this of this movie. It's fun.
Yes.
And I did like it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not as wild and off the wall as I would have liked
it. It's not as manic, is it?
Yeah. I think there are certainly sequences.
Yes.
And scenes and moments where you're like, that's kind of what I want to be seeing here. But it doesn't kind of maintain that flow. That I wouldn't mind it hitting something like, I don't know, like Slither.
Sure, yeah.
Seen the movie James Gunn's like.
We've seen the movie Slither.
You know, like weird indie kind of slug horror body snatcher thing.
Yeah.
It's got this, Elizabeth Banks also actually, isn't that? It's got this weird, sinister, grotty kind of vibe.
This has an interesting energy that sort of bounces all over the place.
Yeah.
I would say overall the energy of this is chaotic because what we see in this movie is, so the there's, as previously mentioned, it starts with a plane going over a national park.
Yep.
And one of this plane is in trouble, and the guy who's smuggling the drugs turfs a bunch of cocaine in bags out of the plane, and then hits his head on the way out, and instead of opening his parachute and presumably collecting the drugs on the way down, or when he gets to the ground, he dies, and so this just loose cocaine.
Yeah.
But also, so we follow the adventures of some guys who need to get the cocaine back for their drug lord boss. It follows a couple of like a little girl and a little boy who decide to cut school and sort
go to the woods.
Go to the woods and just run around and have a fun time.
Yeah.
And their mother the mother of one of them who wants to play by Kerry Russell who wants to go back and find him.
And like some park ranger
types.
And some other people who come and go.
And so it's sort of all over the place because the mum trying to find her kids is sort of very like, feels very like Lassie Come Home, like kind of like a very wholesome family thing where she's got a, you know, she loves her kid more than anything and she wants to find him and track him down. But then there's also like sort of like Fargo-esque drug smuggling stuff going on. And there's of course the cocaine bear.
Yeah. It's going awry.
Yeah. And the two park ranger types, there's the woman who is the park ranger and a sort of an inspector who's coming or like a forestry expert has come to visit and she's got a crush on him.
Yeah.
That felt the most like a wet hot American summer, like a kind of
He's clearly wearing a wig
and
doing
a fake mustache and doing like this big, felt like a Kids in the Hall sketch or something like that. So it's this weird energy, but I liked, as collectively, I think I liked it all, even though it would bounce between these energies over and over again. But I think you're right in that there are some scenes in this that are very chaotic and violent and creative in the ways that, you know, this cocaine-fueled bear is killing people.
The way violence unfolds.
And then it sort of ends and it's like, oh, and then there'll be a bit of walking around, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, also it's interesting that like with a horror, like with a Scream style, or just I don't know enough about Scream to say this, but like in a horror movie, oftentimes it's the thing that is killing everybody. A lot of the people who are being killed are deserving of some way of being killed.
This is not. There's sort of like there are some that kind of.
But do any of the people in this movie deserve to be mauled to death?
I wouldn't say any of them, because like they kind of set up a villain at the end to kind of get just desserts, and I'm like, I don't know
if it's earned that.
It feels kind of random, and I don't think those three kind of narratives that are happening to me, they're not all that interesting. Mm. Like one of them I found really interesting. So there's one with Alden Ehrenreich and O'Shea Jackson,
yes,
but also it is intercut with Isaiah Whitlock Jr.
from The Wire.
From The Wire. And like, so they're the two drug smugglers who, they work for a drug smuggler who's played by Ray Liotta. How long has Ray Liotta been dead for? Like, he died like the start of last year. He's got three movies coming out after this.
Wow.
He did so much fucking stuff.
Yeah.
He's great. Anyway, but I love that aspect of it.
Yeah.
I love that story because one of them's had like a horrible, like heartbreaking event happening to them. And the other one kind of has to drag him through it. And, you know, and none of them are, they're not equipped for the woods. And then they come across this like gang of youths. And that's like a fun little moment.
But not the band gang of youths.
No, that's a different thing.
And
it's the 80s, which is also, which is a fun element to this. So that I really liked. But then when all the stories kind of culminated at the end, which we'll talk about in spoilers, that to me was like, this feels like a weird mash of like kids overcoming a thing and like, hey, don't do that, mister, and whatever.
Yeah,
and
right,
then
right.
There's a bear who ate a bunch of fucking cocaine.
That's
and
right.
I just don't know whether that stuff
See,
comes
I wonder
together.
If the thing about if we wanted more mayhem in this, I think the problem there is if it was, you know, because the park seems to be largely abandoned. It's a work day, I guess, and everybody's at work. So it's not like a bunch of, there's campers as well. The start of the movie starts with like a couple of, there are, I think, an engaged couple talking about their wedding, and they're also messed up in this. But if the camp was full, especially in America, everybody would have a gun.
Yeah.
And a bear on cocaine is scary, but 100 people with guns could probably take it down.
They'd probably shoot each other a lot.
Yes, that is also true. But like the idea of a bear rampaging through a crowd and like mauling like dozens of people or whatever. Like if that energy had kept up the whole time, yes, that would be cool. But I don't think logically.
I'm not even saying you need to keep that energy. I just think the darting between the narratives. I was like, we're sitting with these people for a bit. I'm not super interested in these kids and whatever. And that's not to say like the performances are bad. You know, they're kids and whatever. It's all fine. But yeah, but I just the fun stuff to me was like the low key kind of gangster stuff.
Sure, yeah.
Just guys trudging through the forest looking for cocaine somehow.
I mean, but maybe that's, you know, maybe that for a lot of people, maybe it's just like, oh, I like these characters.
Yeah.
And that I like these characters and they tided me over until a bear, you know, leapt into a ambulance and tore some people's limbs off.
Okay, so speaking of great sequences.
Yes.
That whole sequence was incredible. So it's basically two ambulance officers show up because they get a call.
Ambulance cops. Two hospital cops.
And they say,
cops.
So you're all under arrest. We're hospital cops.
That's right.
And then they don't know what they're walking into. They're like, oh, this is a weird scenario. And then the bear's there and whatever, and the bear ends up, like, chasing down the ambulance. And it's just this gory, like, and it's a nightmare.
It's like one of those Rube Goldberg machines of death. It's one of those.
And it's really kind of well-paced and the gore is good and it's funny, like, and there's funny little moments.
That hospital guy, is he the guy who appears on Twitter every once in a while when he does those videos about, like, retail employees or whatever, and he's got a lot of sassy clapbacks?
He did one for Cocaine Bear where he's like, what do you have to know going into Cocaine Bear? And he's like, nothing.
Right.
And he's like, you know, you only need to know the words cocaine and bear. There's no post-credits in Infinity War, whatever.
Yeah,
I like it. Unless he's cancelled, in which case I take
you
it
never
back.
Liked him?
Yeah, I never liked him.
Okay, great.
And I always knew. it was cool to see him in this. But I also think the bear itself as a CGI model looked fantastic because it's obviously digital because it would have to be.
Yes.
But there are a few moments in this where it's interacting with the environment where it might be like running breakneck pace or it's lying on the ground and the shadows of it, like the actual environmental interaction, I feel is not as great as the model is.
Right.
Would you agree with that? Like, there's a moment where it squashes a person and it feels very kind of...
Look, on the one hand, if you do have one major thing that is the core effect of your entire movie, yeah, it should probably be pretty good.
But that in itself, what I'm saying is the bear looks good, but it's the interaction that I'm...
I didn't really
okay, well, then that's fine then. That's fine then, isn't it, Mason?
Fine.
Yeah. Spoilers?
Let me think. What else? Yes. How do you feel about the idea... not spoilers yet. How do you feel about the idea of, like, trying to manufacture... like a memeable movie. Do you think that's what the intent was? Like a Snakes on a Plane, for example.
Yeah, I mean...
Was it like that? Or even an attempt, like, you know how, like, when you're a kid, maybe you'd go to the video shop and there'd be a bunch of VHSs of weird B-movies. And they're clearly, like, grisly murder movies.
Like
and
the Bugmen.
And what have you.
The Bugmen, like, murderer.
Do you feel this was an attempt to build one of those, but sort of inorganically?
I don't know. I mean, I think if it was, I think the marketing for this and word of mouth is... Like, it got it. It worked, and it got through.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it with a small crowd, like on a Friday afternoon.
Yeah,
just of regular people.
Yeah,
and they seemed to be really big.
Yeah, same. People seemed to be enjoying it.
There was a couple directly in front of me, and one of them left, and then the ambulance scene happened, and then he came back just as it was winding up, and so he just came back to just
miss that whole
just a real
moment
chain of destruction.
That was a good bit.
Yeah, but I think general audiences are gonna.
Yeah, I think it's gonna do very well. Like, especially considering its budget.
Yeah, I'm gonna say best movie ever.
I had
a fun time
ever.
At the movies. I didn't.
I really like Alden Ehrenreich.
Yeah,
and I want to see him in more things.
Right.
Yeah, I think he's really talented.
Does he have more upcoming movies than Ray Liotta at this point?
Oh, maybe. That's a great question. I know every time he's in an interview, he's like, "Do you want to be Han Solo?" He's like, "Yeah, if they let me. I don't know."
Right?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's have a look. I thought he was a good Han Solo.
Yeah.
He was really good in Hail Caesar. I liked Hail Caesar.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, yeah.
He bloody got his filmography, Mason.
He's got a vulnerability about him.
He certainly does.
Which is, it's which worked in this, I think, but it's trickier if you're playing Han Solo and you have to be like Mr. Bravado all the time.
That's true. So he's in Fair Play, which is a 2023 erotic thriller.
Oh, that sounds erotic.
He's of course in the new Ironheart series. He's playing somebody, and he's also
probably Ironheart.
Yeah,
and he's in Oppenheimer.
He's in Oppenheimer. So yeah, so I think maybe equal to or slightly less than Ray Liotta, who filmed 100 movies a day.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
yeah, good for him. I say.
I completely agree.
All right, spoilers. What have we got in spoilers?
So at the end. They all converge on a waterfall.
Yes.
So the kids are there and there's baby bears doing cocaine.
Yep.
And the cocaine bear is there. And Ray Liotta...
This cocaine's too hot. This cocaine's too cold.
I don't know why that little girl would hide in a bear cave. It's the worst place that you would hide.
You wouldn't hide there because the big bear would come
and
back.
And the bear didn't eat her just because. But whatever, it's a cocaine bear, I guess. Who knows why it does anything.
Right, that's exactly right. The perfect antagonist for a movie.
I did like the bit where the bear just did a line of cocaine.
Sure.
Like often it would eat it, but there was just a moment where it just did a line. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, right.
But it did.
Yeah, but it's crucially towards the end we get the mum and the two kids, and we get the gangsters are there, and Ray Liotta's shown up to take care of business because his boys weren't capable of sorting it out, and then. At that point, he's just like, "I'm gonna get all the cocaine. I'll shoot everybody."
Yeah.
And then the bear is turned upon him, and he dies, and everybody else gets away.
Yeah, and it's like, yay! But it's like, I don't know,
right? Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
he was looking after Alden Ehrenreich's kid because he was in a bit of a stupor.
Yeah, he wasn't the worst guy in the
world.
No,
he wasn't. He was just like a guy
For a cocaine.
Yeah, but he was also like He was like a lower level kind of, not even low level. That's probably not true. But like, he was just a drugs guy, right?
Yes.
And I don't think he was really any worse than most of the other people.
But they had to give him the turn at the end
because
they needed somebody to defeat.
What
at
if
the
they
end?
All got away? But just like the little kids, like, get away from him, Mister, and whatever. And I just felt a bit like, what is
yeah,
because
he
now?
Had to kick the. Did he kick any of the?
Yeah, he
the
kicked
cubs?
Some of the cubs. Or he was going to shoot one.
Yeah,
I can't
right.
remember.
Yeah, it seemed odd that was the oddest turn.
I really liked that moment where the.
He should have been at the end. They should have all made it out of the waterfall, and should have been like, I'm not. Being a drug lord anymore.
I'm going to be a regular lord.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to be a babysitting lord.
I'm going to be Lord, the singer.
Oh.
Yeah. But
It was a Lord biopic. It was a surprise Lord biopic.
I
moved to New Zealand.
There's a moment where there's O'Shea Jackson.
Her album's called Pure Heroin.
Is it?
The first one. Bit of a.
I mean, I guess
if
you're going to do heroin, is it better to do pure heroin than laced with something?
Maybe.
Or is that bad?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Something to think about.
Something to think about, right?
No, don't do heroin, Mason.
God.
Not on the podcast.
Wow.
But there's a moment.
Make amends with your estranged daughter. Don't do heroin. Wow, this guy.
Sorry, Dad.
Yeah, God.
There's a moment where O'Shea Jackson is fighting like a, well, they're supposed to be teenagers, but yeah, they look older, like in a bathroom, which I liked that. And then there's a moment where, so one of them who's named Aaron Holiday, the actor, like comes along with them for a bit and gets a little post credits. And I really liked him. Mm-hmm. He gave me like that, you know, the Simon from The In-Betweeners kind of vibe. He had that kind of look as well. I thought he was a fun character.
Right, here's some stuff that I feel like felt like they were setting up, but they didn't pay off at any point.
Mm.
O'Shea Jackson?
Yeah.
He's
Ice Cube's son. And you can tell because he looks exactly Ice Cube.
So after he fights those kids in the bathroom, it looks like he's going to have a heart attack, but he just doesn't.
I think he's just tired because he fought three dudes.
Yeah, I guess, but I thought that was going to pay off as like a...
Mm. You wanted him to have a heart attack?
The second thing that I thought maybe should have been... I thought they were maybe building this as a through line, which may have led to more mayhem,
yeah,
is the idea that everybody at a certain point gets exposed to cocaine and everybody's high on coke the entire time.
Yeah.
Because some of the movie feels like they're going to do that.
Like some kids eat some cocaine at one point.
Yeah, there's a point where like the park ranger shoots one of those kids in the head because she's aiming for the bear, and it would make more sense if she was on coke as well.
Yeah, okay.
Like I thought it was going to lead to more like... more just frantic, bad decision making.
Because of just like the cocaine madness.
Because of the cocaine madness, which I assume you get, yes.
Yeah, maybe. I think there's things that it didn't have that kind of like weird vibe that I was maybe hoping it had the entire time.
I wonder if maybe they'd gone, okay, Kerry Russell's character was divorced from Alden Ehrenreich or something like what if you tied them all together in a more convenient way kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Alden Ehrenreich and Kerry Russell like bond, you know, he's like, I'm not going to be a drug lord anymore. And she's like, well, good.
Good.
Good, actually.
Didn't your wife die? No, this is a...
Mason. You're my wife.
Mason has rewritten the story.
That's right. For the better, I think.
Now, do you...
Mason, if you're watching and everyone gives the thumbs up. And in 99.99% of cinemas, I wouldn't be there. But in one, I'd be there.
You absolutely would be there. Yeah.
Perfect bit of synchronicity, I think.
Now, if this has the legs and the streaming life that it, there's a very good chance that it will.
Uh-huh.
Do you think there's a chance that they do a cocaine bear too? Because I feel like some of the marketing at least was based on like this really happened.
That's
and
true.
And none of this really happened except
the asylum,
that initial thing.
The asylum is doing meth gator.
Yeah. Well, that was my question.
Yeah.
What other animals or drugs could they combine? And this is what I came up with. This is the one that I landed on.
Okay.
Alka Seltzer iguana.
That's very good. Just a very fizzy iguana.
Exactly.
And it'll be one of those, that movie like the wrong man or whatever, where a guy thinks he's being pursued by the mob, but he's just not.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of people who think they're about to be attacked by a rabid iguana, but it's just a fizzy iguana. And they run into traffic or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just okay, that's pretty good. Yeah.
There you go. That was what I landed on.
Okay. Endone echidna. That's a fun painkiller.
Yep. Strepsil's weasel.
Oh, Strepsil's weasel. Yeah, absolutely.
Mine are like store-bought.
Yeah, nice.
Like medications that aren't, maybe not even
marijuana mollusk. Just a snail who's even slower because he's on the marijuana. That snail smoked so much marijuana.
The snail smoked it. Yeah. Didn't even climb over the leaf.
No. Nope.
Smoked a big doobie.
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, a rat that's addicted to cigarettes. I don't know.
Aspirin seagull.
Doesn't that kill him?
Yep.
But does it really, though?
I don't know, mate, probably. Yeah. I would guess so, yeah.
Mm, great stuff.
Mm.
But, yeah, look, it's. I liked it. I did like it.
I liked it too, yeah.
Yeah, and it's, you know, if you're like, oh, I wouldn't say run out to see it because it'll probably be on streaming in a month.
Sure,
You'll probably wait. But
at the same time.
If you got a minute.
If it supports
local cinemas.
It's also 90 minutes or whatever it is. So that's the perfect length for this sort of movie.
Yeah, it never drags.
Yeah.
I would say if
you want to see more, if you like the idea of this and you like the idea of a movie that isn't a huge franchise thing and you just want to see another one, maybe do
you want
to
see a cocaine bear?
You want to see a cocaine bear, for example.
Great name also. Yeah, just perfect.
Yeah. Panadol Penguin.
Got a bit of a headache. It's not even Panadol Rapid.
No, so it's a supermarket brand Panadol. It's a supermarket brand paracetamol is what it is.
Great stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Caffeine koala.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that will pep it up a little bit, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. Great stuff. Some people said that, is that true about the chlamydia koala thing?
Apparently.
Yeah, it's not like all of them, but it's pretty rampant in in the koala community.
Also,
there's
a bunch fewer than there used to be because they all died in that fire. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, like a million died.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whose fault was that?
Not ours.
No. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that.
Just on the record, we weren't responsible for the historic 2019 Australian bushfires. We didn't do it.
No, that certainly wasn't us. It was government funding. It was a Liberal government mostly, yeah, just if people were wondering. All right, let's move on, mate. People are going to be like, Liberal, like the left? No.
No. Read a book.
Do you know what it's time for?
It's time for what we're reading. What are we going to read?
Yo, Mason.
Yo.
I'm doing the thing. Mason, what have you been reading?
I've been reading. In fact, it's right here. It's a paper copy. I was recommended, I think, maybe last week.
Yeah.
A couple of people recommended a comic book called Ultra Mega, written, created, illustrated by James Harron, colored by Dave Stewart. And it is What If Ultraman, but real violent and gross is basically what it is. So thus far it's four issues. It's been collected in this trade paperback. There is apparently more on the way.
Okay.
I checked his Twitter.
Does that feel complete when you read it?
No, yeah. this is absolutely like it's four issues, but it's like the first chapter.
Yeah,
like I had a good reading experience, but it's like it ends on a cliffhanger. And you're like, ooh, what's going to happen next? Basically, the premise how it begins is there's some sort of cosmic virus that's landed on Earth, and it's spread it to people, and people start to turn into like kaiju monsters, big and small.
Sick.
But luckily, three people have received this weird vision from some cosmic being to be like, Do you want to fight for the future of humanity? And they're like, all right,
I'll do it.
And then they turn into sort of Ultraman style heroes, and they've got
gross.
Yeah, exactly. But some stuff goes awry, and the world turns into a horrible place filled with horrible stuff, and it sort of spans a couple of generations of people. And
really? Okay.
It's very I like it a lot. It's some cosmic horror. It's like, again, it is like Ultraman. It's a little bit like Power Rangers, but it's sort of a little bit Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like leans more towards the cosmic horror and like
So did you have an overall enjoying experience?
I had an overall enjoying experience, I think.
Yeah. Now, we're probably going to cover that on our next comic book club.
That's right.
Because you're going to lend that to me, aren't you?
I am.
And you said I'm allowed to tear it up afterwards.
No, I didn't say that. I said keep it pristine.
Yeah, was the implication.
I'm going to take a photo of the spine, and if I get it back and it's got even one little bend in it, I'm charging you for it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm still going to tear it up.
Okay, good.
But this week, if you are interested in Comic Book Club, we actually have done the Last of Us comic. The Last of Us comic that they did, that's now live at bigsandwich.co, thanks to Rob Collins.
Yeah, put that written by Neil Druckmann.
Neil Druckmann, yeah.
Creator of The Last of Us.
That's right. So and it also coincides with, it should at least, this latest episode, which is coming out,
will
be out by the time a lot of people hear this.
Ooh.
So, yeah, if you are interested, you can slay your Patreon and whatever. Mm. Mason, I watched the first episode of season three of Party Down, because Party Down is back.
Is it?
Yes.
Wow.
If you don't know, Party Down was like you told me about this. It was like a 2010s-ish series where it's a bunch of like failed actors who work for a catering company and they hate their jobs and the entertainment industry, and they're looking to break out, or some of them have given up on doing so.
Exactly, yeah.
And then it was cancelled.
Yeah, got two seasons, yeah.
And Adam Scott was partially to blame, it seemed, because he went to do
Parks and Rec.
But apparently they were going to cancel it anyway, and someone the executives told him before, and they're like, they're going to cancel this.
Right.
So he recently said that, unless he's lying.
Maybe he's lying. Anyway, he's a big liar.
Most of the original cast, I think, except for Lizzie Kaplan, is back.
Yes.
And it's 10 years on and everything is worse. All the same.
Yeah. Okay, great.
And it's just if you haven't seen it,
you
can absolutely watch the first two seasons, because I think it still holds up.
I think it does,
from memory. I haven't seen it in a long time, but it's really good and really funny.
Yeah, it was created by Rob Thomas, not of
Matchbox 20's Rob Thomas.
No, the smooth Rob Thomas. They're different guys. They're twin brothers of the same name. No, Rob Thomas created Veronica Mars.
Okay.
And so it shares some character, share some actors, and you know, and you see characters in supporting roles. So Kristen Bell, who is Veronica Mars, is in a few episodes
as herself, or
no, as a as the head of a rival catering company.
Oh, that's right, I remember that now. Yeah,
Valhalla Catering.
I'm just looking at this cast and seeing.
But
what
it's
name.
A great. Like,
oh,
it's,
Ryan Hansen is in it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. So it's a great cast from that era. Speaking of Wet Hot American Summer and that kind of era.
Yeah,
just a bunch of those guys. So Adam Scott, Ken Marino, Martin Starr is in it. Jane Lynch, Megan Mullally.
Yeah.
And who was in The White Lotus?
Jane Lynch is so fucking funny.
Yeah. Who was in The White Lotus? Jennifer Coolidge.
Adam Scott.
Jennifer Coolidge.
She's in the second season.
She is, yeah.
But she's not in this, or at least yet.
I see.
I don't know whether she's going to. Didn't she replace somebody in like the second season?
She replaced. No, wait.
Or was she always in it?
No, somebody replaced
Megan Mullally.
Megan Mullally or Jennifer Coolidge replaced each other. One or the other.
And Jennifer Coolidge was also there.
Yeah. But it's a great, it's very funny. Each week they go to a different catering. Each week they go to a catering event.
And sometimes they hang out with real celebrities.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes it's.
So.
It's people, celebrities playing.
Do they explain, without spoiling, do they explain Lizzie Kaplan's.
Yes.
Okay, right.
They say Lizzie Kaplan is actually. She was pretending to be a caterer for the show Party Down.
Oh, but she's actually an actor. Right, there
yeah,
you
they
go.
Know they
That'll
do explain.
Do. Wow,
that.
Wow.
Yeah. I hope she appears at some point, but they're only dropping an episode a week, which to me is like, what's happening? Excuse me. But very
well, maybe they're
Star's
only
great.
Making an episode a week.
Yeah, maybe they are.
Hmm.
And it also talks about like the state of cinema now, and like now everything's a Marvel movie and comic movie
or
whatever.
Bit of commentary.
Yeah, and I was like, whoa, that's now, I said.
Wow.
But very, and Ken Marino, just they're all good.
They're
I can literally
great, yeah.
just point to any of them and go, isn't that person really funny?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I'm glad it's back and it's well worth
not
it.
Not a bad egg in the bunch,
I
as
agree.
Far as I'm concerned.
It's on Stan, I think. I can't
It remember. Is on Stan, yeah. What else? I watched a couple of episodes of the 1973 magic-based TV series The Magician starring Bill Bixby.
What's happening, Mason?
Don't know. It's just I got served an algorithm. The YouTube algorithm served me a video essay about the 1973 magician-based TV series The Magician.
Okay.
Starring Bill Bixby. It's all right. It's pretty good.
Is he a real magician or is he like a...
He's
like
a stage magician.
Yeah.
But apparently Bill Bixby was also a stage... Like
was he?
He was a huge fan of close-up magic and stage magic. So he insisted that all the magic in the show, like he would do it for real.
So it's not like crap where they edit and it's like a dumb
No, exactly,
thing.
Yeah. He's,
oh,
he's doing all the stuff for real. But he's a – so he's a
– Oh, I like Bill Bixby.
Yeah, he's a world-renowned stage magician who also solves mysteries and fights injustice.
Yeah.
And he lives in a plane. He lives in a private plane and he drives around in like a white Corvette
Oh, not like
Stingray.
A plane crashed in the woods or
no,
whatever.
No. It's like a private plane.
So he's a successful magician.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Okay.
But what I liked
this
about
sounds like something Ryan Johnson would make now.
It is very much. I mean, maybe that's why the algorithm picked it up. I don't know. But also interesting, it's like just the 1970s fashions. But not like crazy. Like, you know, when
if you look at like the actual eras,
most
people are just wearing normal clothes.
Yeah. This was like what does a rich guy in the 70s look like when he's not, you know, a cartoon character or whatever.
He's got a big afro and a disco collar.
No.
And goldfish in his huge stilettos.
Right, he did have goldfish in his huge stilettos. Yeah.
It was probably part of the magic show, though, wasn't
probably,
it?
Yeah. It's a bit of fun.
Yeah. Okay. That's great.
That's about it, I think.
Never heard of that.
No, exactly. And I think it got cancelled, and then he was like, but I better be the Hulk then.
I better be. Yeah. Or at least be the guy who turns into the Hulk.
Yeah, sure.
Is it time for letters then?
Maybe. Did I watch anything else?
I did, but I'm saving it for my other podcast.
Oh, yeah, okay, right. Would you say it's a better thing?
A better thing than Party Down?
Party Down, yeah.
Well, I'd have to say to Claire that I watched one episode of Party Down.
Oh, that's true.
She'd be like, what? And I'd have to explain it.
Yeah.
I don't want to explain anything to anybody.
But, you know.
Not even once.
And if you've got a whole show that's about recommending things.
Yeah.
Well, you got to read the Wikipedia page for a book and say you read the book.
Exactly.
So
you get it.
I get it. That's right. Exactly right.
You're a podcaster.
I get things. All right. Well, I think it's time for letters then. So I'll play the theme to letters.
I agree.
The classic one was letters.
You nailed it this week.
Thanks, man.
You're back on form.
Some letters. Some say I never left before.
I'm saying you did.
Oh. We're going to hear right now. We're going to do letters. Well, other people say I haven't.
Who?
People. You don't know them. I know other people from not here.
I don't believe you. You know my family and my dogs, and that's it as far as I know. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Mason.
Yes.
If you do want to reach the show, why wouldn't you?
That's right.
You can actually hashtag weeklyplanetpod on Twitter or weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
Oh, that's right.
And you cut through the spam and the dreck.
That's right.
And you
sometimes.
You elbow your way to the front.
Sometimes it's all spam and dreck. But not this week.
Yes.
Here's an email from Justin. The real cocaine bear is in my hometown. Hey, James and Meso, I've been a longtime fan and wanted to tell you all that the real-life cocaine bear that inspired the movie is stuffed and displayed in my hometown in Kentucky. For the opening weekend, they took the bear to the Kentucky Theatre for the opening weekend of the movie.
Woo!
I attached a picture, and they even put fake cocaine around its nose.
Now that's fun.
I says, I've been a fan of the show since my senior year of high school. I've listened all the way through college. I'm now in law school and have to lie when people ask what I'm listening to before class.
You say law documents.
That's right.
That, I've narrated, that's right. That I'm listening
I'm
back
listening
to.
I'm listening to episodes of Matlock.
Imagine explaining this to a normal person.
That's right. Thanks for the great show, and I look forward to lying to my eventual co-attorneys about what I'm listening to. And here's the bear. And I got to tell you, I've nailed the look of the bear in the movie, Cocaine Bear.
Well, it's a bear, isn't it?
It's a bear.
Yeah.
But, you know.
That poor bear.
Poor bear. He's got a little K hat on, I'm assuming for the ketamine they used to calm him down.
Oh, okay.
Ketamine koala. What? I know I did koala earlier.
No, ketamine koala's good.
Yeah. Ketamine kangaroo.
Yeah, that's even better.
Yeah, yeah. Because it'd be trying to box you, but it'd be all like, whoa.
Imagine how high I could jump. Imagine how high it would be when it did bloody jump.
Oh, mate.
For some reason, when he's like at the start, and I knew this wasn't true, that the cocaine bear is in my town, I'd imagine it's like a party boy reliving its past glories.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was the cocaine bear.
Sure you were,
and
buddy.
And everyone's initially is like, great. And then it's like, this bear's really annoying.
I met Ray Liotta, and he was cool.
It's the Warwick Kappa of.
Sure, yeah.
Of bears.
The cocaine bear has a little
That's too specific, I know.
Yeah, yeah. The cocaine bear has a little sign around his neck. It says Cocaine Bear, aka Pablo Escobar. Here sits Cocaine Bear. In 1985, Cocaine Bear was found dead in the Chattahoochee National Forest. He overdosed on 40 kilos of cocaine dropped by Andrew Thornton. You might remember Andrew from the Bluegrass Conspiracy.
I don't know.
And then there's a little note, I think it's editorial. It says, don't do drugs or you'll end up dead, brackets, and maybe stuffed like poor cocaine bear.
Look, you could die, but I don't think you're going to end up stuffed.
That's true, yeah.
That's pretty unlikely.
I'm going to look up the Bluegrass Conspiracy and see what it is.
While you do that, I'll read this from Benson Maid on Twitter. Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Caught up on a lot of cinema this week. Plain, Ant-Man, Coke Bear. But the review I wanted to hear about from you is Puss in Boots. The story is good. The comedy fits. John Mulaney is hilarious. Thoughts, Mason, specifically?
I haven't seen it yet.
It's terrific.
Okay, then, great.
It's probably one of the best, if not the best movie in the Shrek franchise. Oh. It's really terrific. They change up the animation style, so it's a bit more like dynamic and less kind of realistic. It's got some wonderful little songs in it. Antonio Banderas is terrific. John Mulaney has mentioned. The voice cast, all in all, is really fun. The new characters are good. The action is great. It's also about anxiety and panic attacks.
Oh.
The action sequence is good. The villain is really terrifying also. As like a kid's villain, it's like, this is a bit spooky. I took my two-year-old daughter, probably shouldn't have, but it was in the holidays.
To Cocaine
and
Bear?
I took her to Cocaine Bear, and I said, this could be you. And
don't do drugs. I know you don't know what drugs are yet.
I went to drop her at daycare, but the daycare was closed, and I go, for whatever reason, I didn't get the email. I don't check emails. And then and then my son was with me, we were going to see Puss in Boots, and I'm like, okay, I guess we're all going to see Puss in Boots now, aren't we? Because I'm not planning a different thing.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's wonderful. It's on streaming now, Mason, so and still in cinemas if you do want to see it. Do you like the Shrek movies?
Some of them.
Then you'll like this.
Should I watch The Bad Guys? That's on streaming as well.
Bad Guys is good.
Okay, I'll watch The Bad Guys.
I like The Bad Guys.
Okay,
yeah.
the Bluegrass Conspiracy, James.
Yeah.
When Kentucky Blueblood, Drew Thornton, that's the guy in the plane, parachuted to his death in September 1985, carrying thousands in cash and 150 pounds of cocaine, the gruesome end of his startling life blew open a scandal that reached the most secret circles of the U.S. government. ... Click to read further. But I won't.
But you won't?
No, I probably won't.
Because the government and something, drug trafficking, et cetera?
But maybe that's the sequel.
Mm.
Maybe that's – but, I mean, the thing about that is –
There's no cocaine bear,
exactly. You'd have to add in like a secret government conspiracy to, like, cocaine all the bears.
Yeah.
You know?
Second cocaine bear.
Second, there was a second cocaine bear the whole time.
It was behind the grassy knoll.
He's in this truck. He's in a truck.
Yeah. Are you ready to read another email then?
Not quite, but one day I will be.
Would you like me to read one?
Yeah.
This is from Wouldn't You Like to Know on Twitter, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Scammers are back in your comments. While I got you, can I be the official scammer pointer out of the podcast? Find and close this tweet. $10,000 redos to help seal the deal. It's not there. If it's not there, it means Twitter lost it. It would. Twitter's a very unreliable at the moment and in general. People might have seen this, and it's most YouTube channels where there's a lot of comments that sort of look like me that are very clearly not. It's like my avatar, and it's Mr. Sunday Movies and a bunch of numbers or letters.
I'm giving away PlayStation 5s.
I'm giving away things, or that's great. Why don't you message me and I'll give you $1 million or whatever. That is, I mean, it's just, I can't stop it. When I see it, I block it or report it, but it's just...
I'd have to
literally sit there all day and do it.
It's every channel as well.
Yeah, it's
now,
every
isn't
channel.
It?
So if you do see those, it is literally never me. But maybe one day it will be. I'm doing a giveaway, no, I would let you know, and I wouldn't do it like that.
You wouldn't do any giveaways like that, and you wouldn't want to interact with anyone.
Those are two true and real things.
The only time you interact with people is when they say something stupid in the comments and you wreck them.
And then I mute it, so I never have to hear a response from them. That's right.
Yeah. Here's an email from Nick. Not me, a different guy.
Nick, you're sending emails in.
Yeah, you're
Nick Mason.
Yeah, different guy.
Oh.
Hi, guys. Long time listener, first time letterer.
Prove it.
Love the show. Me and my wife, Tilly, love listening weekly, and the show always helps us on our long road trips.
Where are you going?
Doesn't say.
Oh. It's not you, is it?
No.
Okay, sorry, go on.
Currently driving from Newcastle to Tasmania on a baby moon.
Wait a
minute. Discussing baby names. Any thoughts?
Well, first of all, you'd have to catch the ferry from Victoria to Tasmania. So
maybe
you're not doing the drive, are you? Unless you're doing laps of the boat in your
car. Maybe they're doing laps of the boat.
That's understandable.
And if you are, we're happy to be your soundtrack to that.
Yes. So baby names.
I say don't.
Don't have a baby?
Don't have a baby name. Leave it blank.
Interesting.
You could be one of those mysterious people with no name.
Now, we don't know the gender of this baby, so I recommend charcoal chicken because that could be anything.
That's great, actually.
Yeah.
And they could shorten it to Charlie, which is good for a boy or a girl.
Charlie Chicken.
Charlie Chicken, that's right. That's great. I was going to suggest some other stuff, but I think you've nailed
that. I've
done
it, haven't I?
Works for any gender.
Yep. It's delicious.
Their middle name's Chicken,
yep,
which is funny.
No, first name.
Oh, Charlie Chicken.
Charcoal Chicken.
Oh, okay. Is it hyphenated?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, okay, right. Okay, that's good. That's good.
Any other names?
I mean, what name is better than charcoal chicken?
Do you think there should be new names? People should be, because whenever you hear a new name, it's like unusual. It's startling at first.
That's right.
But then it becomes part of the public whatevers. But I think there should be some new names. Let's get some new names. Too many Jameses.
Great.
Let's give it a rest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think my name, like in your name,
yes,
in the future will be like, there'll be old guy names?
Yeah, like Caracatus Potts or whatever.
Correct. Yeah. Somebody's name's like Gunther or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. Or
Dirk. Cool names.
Dirk Henderson or
something.
There'll
be names like Space James.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. NFT James.
Oh, yes. Oh, there's an opportunity.
Yeah. NFT James?
Yeah.
If you see my YouTube comment from NFT James,
that one is you,
giving away NFTs.
That's right.
For money.
Anyway, we're glad to have provided your child a name, Charcoal Chicken.
Or Charlie Chicken.
Or Charlie
Chicken.
Sure. Charlie Chicken. Yeah.
Anything else? Because that's my tweets.
Ooh, let's find out.
Let's find out.
I can find another one.
All right.
This is from Maddie.
Oh.
She says, best or worst director's cut. Hey, guys, my boyfriend Drew and I have been a big fan of your YouTube page for years. I've recently started to listen to your podcast on my long commutes to work.
That's
me. And I've gone all the way back to your 2020 episode about the best and worst director's cuts.
Mm.
And to chime in about one of the most upsetting director's cuts I've ever seen is Cinema Paradiso. This film was introduced to me through my favorite professor in college when I took an Italian cinema course. I fell in love with this
film.
And she gifted me her copy. She's one of the reasons I decided to become a teacher myself, but that's unimportant. I wanted to know if you've seen this cult classic or the director's cut. If not, you've got to watch it.
Don't know anything about it. Are there any specifics?
No, doesn't say. Have we seen a recent director's cut that we... David Ayer is still banging on about the Suicide Squad Ayer cut, as of this week.
I mean, look, man, he made a movie and they ruined it or something.
That's
so
true.
I understand that, but maybe he knows James Gunn and maybe he'll get his. But I don't think they want to be doing it, releasing any cuts of anything recently. You know, I don't think they. They're doing
no,
a new thing.
No, exactly. Yeah, they don't want to be like – they don't want people going, oh,
remember
what's
this
at the
other
cinemas?
Suicide
oh, it's
Squad
Aquaman.
Movie?
It's Aquaman director's cut. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. So, no, I don't know that.
I'm going to look up 1988's Cinema Paradiso.
Well, I recently watched E.T., which I'll probably talk about unsuggestible.
Oh, and is that – did you watch the edited version?
I didn't watch the edit, but I watched it because there was a longer version with more scenes, and I watched that one.
Yep.
E.T.'s fucking incredible, by the way. It's just a really good movie.
Would you kick E.T. or not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would.
Would you watch that E.T. sequel where E.T. goes back to his home planet and there's a bunch of E.T.'s? That's a book, but not a...
Yeah, it's a book. There's that. And there's also Spielberg was going to make one and had evil E.T.'s in it.
Yeah.
And there's also like a Verizon commercial from like 3 years ago where E.T. comes back and he's like, Elliot, I'm back. And And
I've got NFTs. ET NFTs.
Now's probably the best time for you to get in. Mm. These are only going to increase in value.
Would you watch a movie version of that 101 Dalmatian sequel where they can all talk and they've got magic powers?
Yes.
Yes,
yeah, but no. But also, what I think is interesting mm-hmm. about that.
Yes.
I think E.T., it's so of its era and it's so real.
That's why they need NFTs to add to it, to modernize it. That's true. Yeah.
But like it's so like the locations it was shot and just the I know we talked about it earlier, but
they pick up a mug.
Yeah, like people in a room.
People in a room.
And the house is just so real and everything it feels so tactile.
That's
why
I like the first Ghostbusters because it's so gross.
Yeah, it's a shame that the rest of the Ghostbusters is utter dog shit. But and so Spielberg was going to make a sequel in the 80s, and I'm glad he didn't. But because like I watched it as a kid and I liked it enough, but seeing it again recently, it's fucking incredible. It's such a fucking good movie.
Would you say it's a love letter to cinema?
No, it's just a pretty good movie.
It's just a good movie, right? Yeah. Exactly.
It makes me want to watch The Fablemans.
There you go.
Yeah.
We'll see the movie Cinema Paradiso.
Yeah.
Salvatore, a famous film director, returns to his hometown for the funeral of the local theater's film projectionist, Alfredo. He reminisces about his life as a young boy falling in love with cinema. So this sounds like sounds like a love letter. I'm going to Google movies that are a love letter to cinema.
You're going to get that one, that Scorsese one set in a train station or whatever.
You go.
Yeah.
No.
No?
I'll never watch that.
I watched
it. Scorsese knows what he did. He alluded to being involved in Joker somehow, and he wasn't, and I'll forever hate him for that.
You know what's interesting? That La La Land, there you go, Ed Wood, mm-hmm. Be Kind Rewind, Hail Caesar, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, The Artist. I feel like, and I do generally like movies like this, but there is a part of me when
we're just talking about Hail Caesar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's right. That's good.
There is a part of me when, like, I see something, like Babylon, for example, which I haven't seen, which apparently might be okay in some of it. But, like, there is a big part of me where they're like, remember the golden age of Hollywood and look at all the glitz and glamour. And, like, there's a big part of me that's like, this has nothing to do with me and I don't care.
Right.
It feels really self-indulgent for people who give a shit about this era of, like, Hollywood and these, like, filmmakers, and I don't.
Mm.
But, you know, more often than not, I can enjoy something like that. But it does feel very, like, who are these for, these movies?
Would you watch a love letter to podcasting?
Yes, like the Zach Braff show?
Yes,
yeah.
Alex Inc.
That show that I loved. Yeah, I loved that show that I definitely watched.
Mm.
That, again, was made specifically for people like me and I still didn't watch it. A guy who has a podcast. Business. Because I love business.
We all love it.
And that's why it's the perfect time to invest in my NFTs, Mason.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to let you get in from the ground up. How much money you got on you? Or around you. A
couple of bucks, probably.
I'll need a bit more than that, but we'll talk about
should
it.
Should we
afterwards.
Walk to an ATM?
Yeah.
Down the street?
That's a great idea, actually. Mm. Anyway, you got anything else, or should we wrap it up?
I think that's the whole show.
Great stuff, Mason.
That's right.
Check what's coming out next week. But go on while you do the wrap up.
Folks, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We absolutely appreciate
it. You're welcome, Mason. Happy to do it.
Thank you for subscribing to the podcast. Thank you for telling your friends about the podcast.
Mm.
Thank you for leaving a 5-star review on your podcast catcher of choice. Because that's how we get new listeners. They can look at the reviews and they go, love it. Wow, this is good. Or maybe they don't read the reviews, but they probably see the star rating.
Probably see the star and they go, that's true.
Mm.
So this one is from Big Booty Music Nerd.
I love it.
By the way, you can just do this in app, whatever app you're listening to.
That's right.
5 stars. It said, the best people I've never met. Been listening for 5 years now. These two goofballs are part of my daily life and I love hearing their jokes and stories on the show. Two great guys sharing some great laughs. It's true. This is from Kane Nielsen, who says 5 stars also. If you like this, listen to Cinema A Lifestyles by Colton Nielsen. So funny. But I found another podcast that's really similar, and it's called A Cinema's Lifestyle. Colton Nielsen does it. He's amazing, and it's very similar to this. And that's from Ken Nielsen. I don't know whether they're related or the same person.
Mm.
But if you want to sneak in a little promo to yourself or something else.
Doesn't affect us at all.
Just give us the – I only want the star rating.
We just
rating.
Need the star rating. Nobody, we're the only people that have ever read these
it
reviews.
It can say so. Blah, blah, goo, goo, gaga.
That's right.
I'm a baby.
Anyway, that podcast sounds like a real love letter to cinema.
Anyway, I looked it up. It hasn't had an episode in a while, but
okay.
It does exist.
Mm.
And you can check that out if you're so inclined.
That's right.
Did we hear back from the guy who wrote it and said he did a podcast and then didn't tell us the podcast?
No,
an absolute king move, by the way.
Sure.
Just incredible.
Mm.
What else, Mason?
Folks, if you want to get into contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com or you can go to our Facebook page, Twitter stuff. If you want to follow some people, you can follow. First, you follow Rob Collings. He's at Raw Collings. He edits his podcast.
The first person to follow.
Edits videos. He does all sorts of crazy stuff. He's at Raw Collings on Twitter. He's also at The Weekly Planet on Twitter. That's where you get all your Weekly Planet updates and news and so forth.
He's not wrong. He tells only the truth.
That's right. You can follow me at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter and at Nick Meso on Instagram. James is Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere. You know, I'm going to give a shout out to Weekly Planet posters.
Oh, yeah.
We sometimes forget to do that, but that's just Chris. He's just a guy. We don't know him. We've never met
him. That's just Chris.
Just Chris. That's right. Yeah, yeah. And he makes funny posters based on stupid things we say.
That's true.
Even our movie commentaries.
That's right.
There was one this week, and I'm glad he made the poster and he provided a little context with a clip.
He's taking paywall things and putting them out in the public.
That's right.
Let's get him arrested.
We should sue him and get him arrested. But it's a little movie called Megatron doesn't want to get brunch, but then he'll get brunch. And I'm glad he put the clip in because I would have forgotten we said that. And
that wasn't from a show.
No, that was from Ant-Man. Our Ant-Man commentary, I think.
There you go.
Yeah. So follow him also. Good, great posters.
I will. I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies to chuck in a buck or an amount you would not miss. You can ping it right in.
Ping.
Or you can go to bigsandwich.co, sign up for $9 per month, and you get bonus podcast, movie commentaries, early videos, ad-free podcast feed.
Have a great time of it.
It is amazing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can also get t-shirts at tpublic.com, search for The Weekly Planet. And thank you to The Brute and The Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes. Next week is Creed, maybe, or
Creed
Scream?
Creed 3. No, then it's Scream the week after. Yeah, which I'm really excited for. Okay. Both of those, actually.
Yeah. Look, it's Cream month, folks.
It certainly is.
Creed and Scream.
I've just got the list here. And also the same week as Scream, 65.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then the week after that, it's Shazam. And then it's just movies for the rest of our lives.
Oh, my God.
Then it's John Wick 3. And the week after that, it's Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, my God.
The week after that, it's the movie Air, which I know you've been looking forward to.
No, I haven't. It looks bad
at all. Or the Pope's Exorcist.
Oh, yeah, with Russell Crowe.
And also the same week as the Super Mario Brothers movie, which I'm super looking forward to. Then it's like there's like Evil Dead. And
oh, my God. New happening. Evil Dead.
Yeah. Then there's Guardians. Then there's Fast 8 or 10 or whatever we're up to. Yeah.
It's just Fast 8 again. We feel you didn't appreciate it last time, so we're bringing it back. No, we won't release 10 until everybody watches this one and say they thought it was good.
They're not going to release 9 again? They're going to release 8 again.
Yeah, 8 and then 10. I feel like it was underappreciated.
That's fine with me.
Do you remember the bit where Statham puts a little set of earmuffs on a baby and then he shoots everybody? You didn't appreciate that enough.
That was a good bit.
Not you, other people.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But I don't have to see it again.
No,
then.
You do have to see it again.
Fucking hell. Because
if you don't see it again, and we've got to spread the word otherwise.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just got a tweet here that's come up. It said, Bo Baxter, who says, should I watch Inhumans again at Mr. Sunday Movies? No.
No, don't do that.
I'm going to write that now.
Yeah, don't do that. That's not worth it.
No. And you're in the podcast.
That's nice.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you very much. Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week. Oh, I met two listeners. I was in the city.
Two listeners the other day.
I met two listeners on Burke Street in the span of like 2 minutes.
They didn't even know each other.
They didn't even know each other.
Fletcher. Sure, it wasn't the same person walking around the block with a mustache. No. Oh, hello. Aren't you Nick Mason from the podcast?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And they did have fake sounding names.
I've never met anybody.
Yeah, that's
right. Interesting.
We never left the house.
So now you know my family and these two people.
Yeah, yeah. Fletcher and I think maybe Jonathan.
Interesting stuff.
That's right.
Great. Thank you for saying hello to Mason and not beating him up, which would be your natural inclination.
Yeah, and you're right to do so.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.